Merkle Media.
Lashback Fridays here on Macroaggressions, taking you back to April 6th, 2021. Get woke, go broke. Speaking of going broke, if you want to convert some of your soon-to-be worthless Federal Reserve notes into tangible assets like gold and silver, talk to our sponsor, Tony Ardburn, over at Wise Wolf Gold and Silver. Just go to www.macroaggressions.gold. Now, please enjoy the show.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius Tactheratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
In uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have a Fredita!
Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, Macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson. Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. What is happening, everybody? If you are listening to us wherever podcasts are served, we appreciate it. You know that we also have a YouTube channel, and we are on Rockfin, and we are on David Icke's video platform, Iconic, so you can check us out. The monologues don't go on the video platforms. They just come here to the audio portion, but still, you can catch me on those other platforms as well. And look, we've got a new sponsor. We've seen Ken Schwartz on the show, C60 Purple Power. I got to tell you, man, the stuff works. You never know with supplements, and you never know with medicine, you know, improvements in medicine and things like that, how much of it is just bullshit and how much of it actually is real. And I can tell you firsthand, because I've been taking it for the last 2 months. I've been giving it to my sweet cat, who has turned a huge corner and is back from the dead. You know, she was weeks away from death, started giving her C60, because when you're weeks away from death, what difference does it make, right? We might as well give it a shot. And I just can't, I can't express it enough. I am so pleased with the results. I didn't intend for that to happen. I didn't know it would happen, you know. I hoped, but you never know. So I've had great results with it. So look, it's a local company. It's a small business. They're doing great things. Cliff High talks a lot about Ken Schwartz and C60 Purple Power, claims that they're making the best batch of C60 out there. So, you know, I respect Cliff High's opinion. I like Ken personally. We've chatted a couple of times. I'm taking his product every day, and I don't know what to tell you. It's working for me. So if it's something that you like, go take a look at c60purplepower.com. If you buy something, use the promo code MACRO to save yourself some money and check it out for yourself. So, you know, but the thing is that we live in a culture right now. The reason why I say, you know, I'm kind of unsure about, you know, whether a new supplement works or doesn't work is because there's so much deception out there in the world. I have a marketing degree, which means that I'm trained to, you know, figure out how to sell products to people that maybe don't want the products. I mean, that's kind of not exactly the best base to start from, right? I thought I'd get a marketing degree, it'd be kind of a nice general thing. And what I've realized is that you know, the psychology of how you connect with people is really important. And obviously marketing takes control of that, but also things like public relations, which is the new name for propaganda. And what we're seeing these days is we've seen like a convergence of propaganda and, you know, trying to guilt people into feeling one way or the other, a manipulation, a marketing of a product. And the product is wokeness. And it's disgusting. You know, not the idea of being awake to what is actually going on around you. That's fine. That's what this show is all about. Hell, that's the heart of this show, is to wake people up to what's actually happening. That's not woke, though. Not woke, you know, in the trademarked, you know, the way they mean it. The way the social justice warriors mean the term woke is that you are aware of your privilege and you are aware of what a asshole you are. And you have to apologize for that constantly because how dare you have an advantage in any way, shape, or form over somebody else. So, I mean, it's retarded and preposterous and it's all those things. Oh, sorry, I'm not allowed to use the word retarded anymore. It's a mongoloid. How about that? Can we use that instead? You know, but that's sort of a prime example right there. The hijacking of words. Now, if I use the R word, I mean, just know that in no way or in no universe would I ever actually say that to somebody that was really mentally handicapped. I said, I would never do that. It would never cross my mind to do that because that would be horrible and despicable and shitty and unnecessary. But would I call my friend who's actually not mentally handicapped but is acting mentally handicapped? Would I call him a slur, slang term, retarded? Stop being retarded, and we both laugh about it because we know what it actually means? Of course. Because we're being intellectually honest about it. We're not, this is not the terminology that I would use if I was actually referencing somebody that was mentally handicapped. But that doesn't matter. Context means nothing to these people. Nuance means even less. So now we're in a situation where there's verbal landmines buried everywhere. And you might have walked past some in you know, years ago, and they didn't go off. Well, guess what? They're liable to go off now. Anything you say can and will be used against you in social media. You can't even joke about things anymore. I mean, you can, but you do so with an understanding that the woke mob may come for you. Not 1 minute later, or Milt will come for you. Right? The woke mob will come for you with the torches and pitchfork and no information. Because see, information is like kryptonite to them. They don't want to actually know anything about it, about the terms. They don't want to know about the history of it. Tell me who is offending me. Tell me why I should be offended. Okay, I'm offended now. Now tell me who to hate. Oh, you hate those guys? Those are the guys that are offending me? You're offending me. I hate you. You should die. But this is where we are. This is the woke culture right now. It's pathetic. It's completely counterproductive. You know, at sort of a base layer, it's just super annoying, you know? Like, I don't really care. You know, if somebody wants to cancel me, you know, come and cancel me. First of all, I'm so insignificant. Canceling me doesn't matter, okay? I'm no Joe Rogan. You know, I'm not Adam Curry. I'm not these guys with a huge profile out there that you have. What are you going to do? Take me down? I'm already down. Good luck with that. But see, I'm not worried about being taken down. In fact, I quite enjoy it. I hope somebody would try to deplatform me. I hope that somebody would try to cancel me. Please come cancel me. Make me a bigger presence online so that more people will buy my books and will wake up to this. Please, I'm begging you to cancel me. Cancel me on national TV. I'd love it. It would be great. Be the greatest advertising campaign I could have for these books that I've written that will wake people up to the madness of what's going on. So do me a huge favor and try to find something to cancel me for. I would appreciate it. Because if there's one thing I've learned over the last 2 years of watching this woke mentality, is that you can't shame somebody who has no shame. They tried it with Donald Trump in the elections. They grab him by the pussy stuff. We're going to, and to be clear, I thought he was done at that point. When they had that audio tape, I thought, oh, this is going to be a tough one to explain. You know how you explain it? You don't explain it. If you're Donald Trump and you have no shame, you just say, eh, and you just keep going. And they don't know how to respond to that. You know how the only way they know that the thing that they're looking for is they're looking for you to hesitate or to start to backpedal. Well, I'm sorry, it was taken out of. If you do any of that, you're done. If you show any sign of weakness, it's over for you. The only solution to dealing with the woke mob is to just barrel through them, to just come over the top. You know, like in a poker terminology, someone bets a little bit, then you come back and you push all in. You go, okay, well, you're going to come after me? Boom, here, I'm all in. Now what do you got? Oh, you got nothing. Oh, you didn't expect that move. Oh, I see how it, and then they back down. Or in poker, the guy folds. So you can't ever bow down. Because once you bow down to them, they'll keep looking for more things to get you on. Because it's not about any of the things that you've said or done in the past. It's about, can I make this person that is perceived to be in a higher position of status than me bow down to me? I'm worthless. I'm useless. I'm a nobody, right? But if we get enough of me together, enough of us nobodies that are sitting around with nothing to do, just waiting to get offended about something online, if we get enough of these people together, well, now we maybe have some power and we can go after that guy and make that person come down off of their high ledge and put them not just on the level with us, but down, kneeling to us. Oh, what a great feeling. Let's see how many times we can do it. Let's see how many times we can make this person do it over and over and over and over like a trained seal. That's why there's no finish line to this. That's why you can never bow down to these people. And on top, now, it would be one thing if this crowd was like all ex-military and super intimidating and super strong and super type A and all that, and then they got in your face and made you bow down, that you might be fearful. But have you ever taken a look at the woke mob? I mean, have you ever like studied those compilation mugshots of the Antifa people? It looks like the swing shift at a carnival or something. Like, you know, not the most athletic group, definitely not getting much distance on their Molotov cocktails. The types of people that shoot free throw baskets underhand, you know what I mean? This crowd. So when they want to come and, you know, crowd around you and get you to bow down or something, I mean, it's kind of laughable because they should rightly be getting stuffed into a locker in high school. Probably did. And so it's not even really intimidating in a physical sense because you're like, listen, you want to go, I mean, if you get a 100 people together against one person, it's over for that one person, of course. But it's like, you know, you guys all know, you pussies all know, you're not going to fight me one-on-one, right? None of you guys are. You're tough because you're in this big pack, or, oh, you're Antifa and you've got helmets on and everything. Take the helmets off and go one-on-one with some guy. You'll get slapped around. It'll be embarrassing. And they know that, of course. And they know they're weak, and they know that they're betas, and they know that they're soy boys, and they know all these things. That's who they are. This is exactly the reason why they have to clump together in these groups to try and have any actual power, because they know that their actual lives, their real lives, are powerless. They're powerless in a physical sense because they're just kind of weak physically. And of course, I'm generalizing here. And, you know, it's not to say every single one of them, but let's generalize for a second. Weak physically,
weak mentally, not really depth, you know, not a lot of depth to their character or an understanding of these topics, real surface level. You know, you notice you never get into a debate with the woke mob or the woke people. They can't debate. Their positions are so flimsy that they can't do that. And they know that. I mean, just ask them, look, prime example. Someone says, I'm pansexual. Go, what is that? I want you to define that term. They can't define it. It's indefinable. It's indescribable. It's nonsense. It's made up terms. So push a little bit back on these people. For fun, push back on them. But if you ever wind up in a situation where you have real communication with one of these wokeians, you know, or maybe it's like your kid comes back from college and you're like, what the fuck happened to them? Like their brain's all scrambled and they're like, you know, dad, you need to be more inclusive and everything. And you're like, what? What are you talking about? Like, stop. So, you know, or this everybody, you know, I think that there's some confusion on the part of the woke mob. You know, when they talk about equality, we want equality. Well, equality of what exactly? What they want is equality of outcome. What we want is equality of opportunities. I think it's reasonable to say everybody gets an opportunity. I don't think it's actually going to happen, but let's just say that everybody got the opportunity to try out for the NBA. Be a hell of a tryout, right? A lot of people. But everybody gets the opportunity to try out. But not everybody gets it's not equal outcomes, because not everybody gets to play on the team for a variety of reasons. But if you tell the woke mob, no, these people they're not going to work. You know, they're not going to be on the team. It's like, how dare you not allow them on the team? It's like, hey, the guy's 5'4" in Korean. Okay. He's going to get dunked on all day long. He's not playing on our team. It's just not. Okay. We're talking about the NBA. You got to be, you know, with the exception of Muggsy Bogues, you got to be tall. You got to be fast. You got to be all these things, you know, you got to be able to, this isn't even a matter of, sorry, don't mean to be offensive to you. It's just a fact. You're not on the team because you don't fit the qualifications. But the woke mob will legitimately try to defend the fact that they think that everybody should have equal outcomes. And it's just, it's really an indication that they haven't thought their position through very thoroughly, because saying things like that is just instant discrediting. You know, instantly you just look at that person, you go, you're not a serious person. I mean, this is not a serious debate. If you're telling me, I believe that everyone should have equal outcomes. Well, some people try harder than others. Some people are smarter than others. Some people are physically built in a way that makes them better suited for one job over another. If you have a complaint, you can go file that with Mother Nature if you'd like. It's just the way things are. You're probably better at something than another person is, you know? So what? You check your privilege. Check your privilege for being able to count, being able to read. Don't you know that, you know, 18% of the United States population can't read and has to use the McDonald's picture menu, but you can read. So in order to have equal outcomes, I would like you to stop reading. That's as dumb as their argument is. It's insanity disguised as manners. This whole woke stuff. Cause it is insanity. It's mental illness. Don't kid yourself. But it is, but they think that by being, that they're going to be so compassionate or so, bend over backwards so much for a person of color that they're somehow being polite, more polite. They're not being polite. They're being psychotic and delusional. Because the white guilt thing, let's face it, the white guilt is hilarious. I mean, it's so funny that like Pornhub has their own like sections for it, you know? It's like its own genre of porn. White guilt. cuck stuff, you know, where you're just like white dude sitting in the corner, like sucking your thumb while five black guys bang some white girl and are supposed to be like his girlfriend or his wife. And the thing, I mean, it's fucking hilarious. But it because, and it's a thing because there's a bunch of white people out there that have a tremendous amount of white guilt. Now, listen, to, if you're just listening on podcasts and you haven't seen what I look like, I'm the whitest white guy in the world. Believe me, if I were any whiter, I'd be clear. So I have a good laugh. I have a good laugh. Do I recognize that there is white privilege? Oh, sure, for sure. There definitely are some areas where there's like a good old boys network, you know. It's like, oh, you're in the club. Oh, I see who you are. Oh, come sit over here, fine, sir. You know, like, and I'm sure there's some of that that goes on, but it's less about being white and it's more about being rich. You know, it's the rich guy club. It's not the white guy club necessarily, but I don't know. I think so. If there's a case to be made that there has been systemic racism, that the white man has benefited from it, in America, I can't really disagree with that. I think that that's probably, if we're being honest, that's probably true. Is it my fault? Is it my responsibility to fix it? Is it, did I come up with it? No, of course not. So do I have to pay the reparations? I mean, you see where I'm going? It's stupid. But so you can acknowledge that there is a slightly tilted playing field here. We can acknowledge that, and we can acknowledge that it's not right. But it's swinging back so far the other way that it's kind of, now it's overdoing it. Now you hear Oakland saying that they're planning to give everybody that makes under a certain dollar amount. I think it was under $49,000 and under, they're talking about giving them a $500 a month stipend that with no strings attached, except it can't be white families. It's like, I'm sorry, what? It could be poor families, but it can't be poor white families because, you know, racism. So are we going back to colored water fountains? You know, because it feels like it. It feels like this way overreaction is like, oh, what college was it that I heard? Was it some college that last year at graduation gave out diplomas by color? Like the black guys go first and then the white people go. Like, what are you doing? This is crazy. But it's kind of America's new thing. America's new thing is to get really bogged down in a bunch of shit that doesn't matter at the expense of paying attention to things that actually matter. So like, as an example, the things that the United States government and military are working very closely on, it's a priority for them, is maternity flight suits for military women. Yeah, they're going, you know, what we really need is we need flight suits for pregnant female fighter pilots so that they can take their unborn baby at 3 Gs in an F-16. Because that will end well for the baby. And yet this is what we're focusing our time on. They're changing the physical requirements for women in the military as well. They're lowering the bar for women in the military. First of all, for all you that are in the military or have been in the military, it's a tough game. It's not something I would be interested in. My dad was in the army. My grandfather was not. He worked on the atomic bomb, unfortunately. A military career is not something I would be interested in, but like trying to recruit kids into the military by using video games to do it is shitty. And trying to build maternity flight suits so that pregnant women can fly fighters or bombers so that they can bomb the shit out of people is reprehensible. And so contradictory. The fact that the concept of a woman that is ready to bring life into this world, flying a bomber that is dropping bombs that are ending life. is the only sort of grotesque irony that can be brought to you by the U.S. military. And so, though I'm not anti-U.S. military soldier and personnel, I am anti-U.S. military insanity at a high level, at the, you know, at the Pentagon level. I am just, you know, completely against war. I don't in any shape and form. So, you know, this is what America has become. Where our education system's no longer about actual education. It's only indoctrination. And we spend a lot of money to make sure it stays that way. And it's just changed a lot in a short period of time. Like, where diversity, inclusiveness, those are now the priorities at the expense of like making a profit. If you're a big business, now you have to virtue signal that you're super diverse and very inclusive. And that's the priority. And look at it. Look at us all doing this. Oh, look, you know, I mean, it's so contrived and fake because you know they're new to the party. You know who's not new to the party when it comes to inclusiveness and advertising? And we shall give them credit. Benetton. Remember Benetton clothing store? It's kind of upscale. They've always been very inclusive, going back, God, I don't know, 20 years, 30 years, maybe. All their ads always had different shapes and sizes and colors and of people, men, women, sex, gay, straight, whatever, tattooed, before it was cool. Benetton was doing it. Everyone else is fake compared to them. And the thing is that it's really transparent as well. You know, it's real, and it's being reflected in things like the ratings for the NBA. You know, the NBA, obviously, statistically, I think 70% black. So they have a big Black Lives Matter banner, ad that runs along the length of the court when they're playing in the bubble in 2020. And so the court stayed the same, you know, the two courts stayed the same. And so you would see that Black Lives Matter every basketball game, starting from about, I don't know, second half of the season on all the way through the playoffs. And they start doing the taking the knee things and all that in football, and ratings dropped. Ratings in the NBA have dropped 40% in 2020. When they started with all the Black Lives Matter and all of the virtue signaling, the year over year from 2020, from 2019 to 2020, NBA ratings down 40%. The All-Star game ratings are in the toilet. They are so low. They're like 1/5 of what they were just like 25 years ago. 1/5 of the ratings for the NBA All-Star game. From where it was, it's like 4.5 million people watching now. It used to get like 25 million. Nobody cares. Get woke, go broke. And they're starting to figure this out. The Grammys. In 2020, the Grammys, before the coronavirus situation, 18.7 million. After the get woke, go broke stuff, you know how many people watched the Grammys in 2021? 7.88 million. From almost 19 million down to almost 8. Gee, I wonder why. I wonder why when you turn on the Grammys and you have Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion humping each other on stage to a song called Wet Ass Pussy. Now, look, I'm all for saying whatever you want. I'm not a censorship guy. And I'm also not easily offended by stuff like that. So it doesn't really matter to me. But are we talking about little kids being influenced? Of course we are. But once again, I'm not a censorship guy. The problem is when you promote that stuff while simultaneously canceling Dr. Seuss. That's where it gets me. That's where you go, no, you guys can't have it both ways. You don't get to pretend like Cardi B has a great message for kids. Cardi B can barely spell. Okay. She shouldn't be in any way, position to give messages to kids. She used to mug guys when she was a stripper, drug them and steal all their shit because she was escorting, hoeing herself out. Frankly, I don't give a shit what she has to say to Bernie Sanders or anybody. But let's not pretend that we're promote, you know, they're promoting that. That's fine. That's great. We can watch that. We should watch that number one song, number one video. Let's have them do it live at the Grammys and everything like that. But with a straight face also say, how dare you read a Dr. Seuss book? Are you trying to destroy this child's mind? You come in here with your Dr. Seuss books and your Aunt Jemima syrup and you ruin these kids. What will Cardi B think of this? You know, it's, and if you point this out to somebody, then they think that you are the problem, which is fun. I mean, we're focused on getting statues removed of people that were doing things 150 years ago. Why don't you just educate people on who these, who the people on the statues were and say, don't be like them? This guy was super racist and we have these statues. So we took the statues down. Oh, congratulations. Did you solve racism? Well, it's more of a statement. Oh, what's the statement? That you're stupid and you like to focus on things that don't matter? Because if that's the statement you're trying to make, mission accomplished. You're so focused on taking these statues down. Like it does anything. But you know what it is? It's not about doing anything. It's about busy work for these people. It's about making themselves feel important. It's about giving power to the powerless. You know, it's not healthy, but I understand why they're drawn to it. Because when you have nothing really to offer, and you're not doing anything of any real significance, and you're typically young like that. And when you're young, to be fair, it's kind of hard to know what to do. You know, there's no roadmap and not everybody finds their passion ever, especially even young. So it's tempting, you know, to just kind of float around and be like, I don't really know what I'm doing. Then, but when your hobby is becoming a social justice warrior, then what you see is inequity everywhere, inequality everywhere. You see, when you're looking for racism, you see racism everywhere. Not because you're necessarily living amongst all racists, but because you've set the frequency of your mind towards looking and connecting with racism. And you start seeing things that aren't there. Look, we do this in the conspiracy world too. We're tempted to think everything's a conspiracy. And look, there are a lot of conspiracies. To be clear, we don't need to theorize about them because we've got actual ones. But we do this from time to time. We jump the gun. We just assume everything's a conspiracy. Well, these race baiting people, they assume everybody's racist. And then they go looking for something in you to validate their point. And they go, I gotcha. You said the N-word. And you're like, dude, I was like reciting the song that had it in, you know what I mean? Like it's totally out of context. No, you've got to bow. And then they feel important. Like they've solved racism. Like they've done their part. You haven't done your part. I mean, getting people fired for old social media posts is not an accomplishment. It's weird. It's busy work. It's mind your own business. You know what I mean? It's not, nobody respects that. I mean, maybe the woke mob is like, hey, good job, Thad on getting that guy deplatformed for something, getting that woman fired for something she posted 11 years ago when she was a teenager. Good job. Like, there's plenty of shit you can be doing that's actually productive. But it's this weird cancel culture mentality. You know what it is? It's the victimization decathlon. It's who can be the most victimized person. Oh, I'm a black transgendered midget, you know, who's handicapped and and you'll see it in their victim labels on their Twitter profile. Trans, handicap, you know, blah, 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 blah. And it just goes on and on and on. It's like, whoa, oh, okay. So it's like code for nobody can make fun of me. Do you know what I've been through? Oh my God. Do you know what I've been through? It's like, what is that? Your shield? Who cares? So it's a culture of glorifying victimhood. And I don't have much respect for that. Because it's disrespectful to actual victims. You know, people that have been victimized by others in a real way. Not in this perceived way. Not in this phony way. I just feel like it's like when somebody says, you know, I was date raped, but they weren't. They were just drunk. It's kind of discredit. I mean, it's disrespectful to actual rape victims that have had like knives put to their throats and been raped. You know what I mean? It's cheapening the whole thing to say like, oh, I'm such a victim. It's disrespectful to actual victims. I don't consider these slights against these people to be, I don't consider them to be victims. I feel like they want to be perceived as a victim because they get sympathy. It's this Munchausen by proxy. If you've ever seen that crazy fucking syndrome where moms like hurt their kids so that they get attention, you know, this victimization decathlon is gross and it's counterproductive and nobody respects it, but it's happening. It's happening all over the place. And it's like, if you don't respect or at least acknowledge their victimhood, then you are a victimizer as well. And it's like, I didn't ask to be brought into this at all. I think you have mental illness is what I think. I don't think you're a victim at all. Maybe you're victimizing yourself with some really, you know, dangerous thinking. But you telling me, you know, that, well, you just don't know what I've been through. You're right. I don't know what you've been through. So, you know, what do you want? Where do we go from here? I don't know what you've been through and you don't know what I've been through. And you want to tell me that you're the most victimized? Good for you. Do you think I respect you for this? You know what I respect? I respect the people that were victimized legitimately. By actual people, actually dangerous people, they were victimized, and they overcame that, and they never forgot it, but they never used it as a crutch, they never used it as a shield to deflect criticism. They used it as motivation, or they used it as something where they said, "I was victimized in a horrible way, and I never want to be that person to somebody else." That I respect. But America has turned into this victim culture. And it's a disgusting trend. It's, you know, it's the, like, as an example, critical race theory, sort of all the rage these days, teaches kids that they are either victims or oppressors. Victims or oppressors is what you're going to teach students. I mean, now that's dangerous to infect kids' brains with that stuff, where they feel like if they're not actually victimizing other kids because they're just a decent kid, then they know they're not doing that, then the assumption is that they must be victims then. If they're not victimizers because they're not, and the only other choice is to be a victim, then they're being taught to spend the rest of their lives feeling that they're a victim. That's such a defensive and shitty position to base your life off of. To be, think of yourself as a victim when you're actually not. That's what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about actual victims that have been through this. I'm talking about when critical race theory says, hey, listen, kids, you're either the victims or you're the oppressor. And they're like, I know I'm not the oppressor because I'm a good kid. So I guess I'm the victim. And then they go off and live their life the whole time saying, I'm a victim. And that opens you up to bringing about that which you are perceiving. So it brings upon more victimization, actual victimization this time, because in reality, you were never one. You just fell into this ideology, this critical race theory horseshit. You know, Yahoo News put out an article titled "Whiteness is a Pandemic." It said, "Whiteness is a public health crisis. It shortens life expectancies. It pollutes air. It constricts equilibrium. It devastates forests. It melts ice caps. It sparks and funds war. It flattens dialects. It infests consciousness, and it kills people." This is whiteness does all of this. This is from Yahoo News. Would you like to take a wild guess what would happen if I wrote an article titled "Blackness is a Pandemic" whole, and then proceeded to just replace whiteness with blackness and talk about being a public health crisis, shortening lives? Do you understand what sort of shitstorm I would be in if I wrote that article and submitted it to Yahoo News? First of all, it would never get published. So we've got some hypocrisy going on here. Okay. Can we admit to that? We've got the hypocrisy of you being allowed to just shit all over white people right on national television and it'd be totally fine. And the white person is not allowed to complain. And if you did the exact same thing to any other race, it would be considered rightfully unbelievably racist. Like if we're just like Chinese, you know, Asianness is a pandemic, and then we've just brought an Asian person out, we're like, you're a public health crisis. It shortens life expectancies. It constricts equilibrium. God damn it! Stop it, you Asians! Stop constricting equilibrium. I mean, fuck this writer for putting that in there. Just alone, it constricts equilibrium. Shut up! Stop trying to make yourself sound so smart. You don't even know what that means. It doesn't make any sense. Oh, it's all so exhausting. You know what I mean. It's, you know, everybody's a racist except them. Everybody. There's a musical, And to be fair, I'm not big on musicals, but there's a musical called Avenue Q, which is a puppet. It's like an X-rated puppet show musical, which when you describe it like that sounds really awful, but it is super funny. And it's got a killer soundtrack to it as well, because all the songs are written really funny. And there's a song called "Everyone's a Little Bit Racist." And it's a great song because it's talking, you know, and they're singing it during a scene in this, and they're talking about how, you know, the words of it are such that they're just making fun of each other for being Asian and black and making fun of white people and things like that. And it works because you can recognize that there are different races of people. You will have to recognize, and you know, those people that go, I don't see color. Oh, fuck you. You do too. Stop doing that. You do see color. Now you might not prioritize your decision making because based on what somebody's color is, but don't pretend like you don't see color. That makes me insane when people say that, because it's so disingenuous. I get what you mean. I understand what you mean. And it, David Icke describes it like this. Why would I care what colored spacesuit you were wearing? It's like, yeah, exactly. You know, that guy's got a black spacesuit on. I got a white spacesuit on. That guy's got, you know, a mocha. I don't know. Nice spacesuit. But, you know, our education system is no longer really about actual education. It's only about indoctrination. And they're teaching critical race theory, and they're teaching that whiteness is a pandemic, and they're teaching that there's 103 different genders. And all this stuff is not real. You can make a very good case that all of this stuff is imaginary. There's not 103. There's two sexes. And then I know that you can be born transgendered. And to be clear, I'm not trying to fuck with anybody that is transgendered. I'm in fact quite the opposite. I have a tremendous amount of compassion and respect for those that have gone through that process, because it has got to be difficult. And you got to feel totally isolated. I just think that has to be rough. And I'm not shitting on those people at all. Where I'm shitting on people, the ones that are like non-binary, asexual, pansexual, and you're like, okay, this is garbage. You're just making this stuff up. I'm taking the transsexual community out of that, because they're legitimately dealing with actual physical medical conditions and things like that. If you want to be non-binary pansexual, that's like a designation in your head, but that's not like you're not allowed to get mad at us if we laugh at you for that, because it's laughable and you have to acknowledge that. And if you're not acknowledging that this is hysterical, then you're not being honest about it, because it's fucking hysterical that people are trying to pass off. Like, Facebook has legitimately 53 different genders listed that you can pick through. And they don't make any sense. And nobody can give you an answer on what they mean. So I don't get mad about it. I think it's funny. What gets me mad is when other people don't see it as being funny too. Like, they take it seriously. Like, oh, listen, man, you got to refer to that guy as Zims or her. Get the fuck out of here. Are you out? I'm not referring to anybody as Zim or Zer. This is craziness. It's craziness, and I'm not participating in your craziness. You can take your mental illness and go all the way and fuck right off with it. I'm not interested in that. And the rest of us aren't either. And and the thing is, look, I think that most of us are compassionate, nice people. And when you see somebody going through some sort of mental crisis, you want to be compassionate to them. You want to help them out. You know, I'm not looking to shit on somebody who's having a rough day. You know, I'm not. So, but when you start doing things like pretending that there's all of these genders out there, or pretending that everybody is victimizing you, then you've got to understand that a lot of people aren't going to take you seriously from that point on, because they see this, they see what's going on. It's not real, you know? You've been watching the wrong videos, and you've been hanging out with the wrong people, and you guys all need to get a job, because this is not something you would be falling into if you had other things to do, better things to do. So I feel like it kind of catches some of the weakest of the population, like, you know, the sheeple people, like the herd. And I think that at their core, they're not bad people. I think they want to make sure that they live in a world where nobody gets offended and nobody's feelings get hurt, probably because they've had their feelings hurt and they don't want anyone else to feel that. And while that may be a noble cause, it's a waste of your time and energy. It's an impossibility to build a world where nobody gets their feelings hurt or offended is busy work. You know, because it's something that can never be achieved, and it's not your job to do it either. You control you. You don't want people to feel oppressed and shit on, then don't oppress and shit on people. And maybe do it in a way that makes you look magnanimous, you know, and then others may follow. But if you pretend that, like, I'm going to get my power from acting like a victim and choosing one of these made up genders, well, I mean, don't act surprised when you don't have much respect from people. It's not a position of strength. It's a position of weakness and weirdness on top of that. You know, and this need to want everybody censored and deplatformed. It just, for one thing, it's bad form. You know, it's a slippery slope when you start calling for certain speech to be censored. But also, if you have a deep understanding of how, of the history of these things, what you will find is that the people that are calling for speech to be censored at some point in the future wind up being censored themselves. And they go, this isn't fair. And everyone goes, oh, well, now you know what we went through because of the shit you put us through. You started this. You started the censoring. You started the digital book burning. You started complaining about books that that Amazon is selling because they make you feel all icky inside. And so you complained to them and you got them removed because Amazon is a spineless corporation. So congratulations on your digital book burning. While you're out calling everybody Nazis, you did the one thing that the Nazis actually did do. So take a look at your behavior and stop with the push to get everybody deplatformed, because that's what authoritarians do. And while you're at it, take off your double mask because you look ridiculous. You know what I mean? It's just that, you know, we get bogged down in the wanting to be perceived as being in the right, on the right side of history. And that means, oh, I'm perceived as the person that didn't see genders. I treated women as fairly as men. In fact, I didn't just say ah men, I said ah woman. Like that moron that did it on camera. That you probably saw that video floating around there. History, herstory, you know. I get it. You want everything to be fair. You want everything to be equitable. But we don't live in a fair world. I mean, men identifying as women to compete in sports. Do you think that's fair? That's the big dilemma, right? Because it doesn't pass the eyeball test when you see they're like, oh, I'm going to play in the women's field hockey team. And just like the dude with like the long blonde hair. I don't know if you've seen the picture of the dude in the long blonde hair who's transitioned to become a woman, but is clearly like, you know, like 30% bigger than all the other women and got this field hockey stick and this skirt on. And it looks like Thor coming at you. You know, I identify as a cucumber. Well, now I identify as a batch of grapes. You know, I mean, I think it's doing a disservice to this whole movement. I get it. You want to be equitable. You want to make sure that trans people feel included. Of course, being asked to be included is a good feeling. Being excluded is a bad feeling. So you want everybody to feel included. I do too. But if somebody is saying that I used to be a guy, but now I identify as a woman and I want to play in women's sports, now you have the dilemma of you have to trust this person, right? Because they're telling you what they identify as. And then you watch them go into that sport and just start breaking skulls and it doesn't pass the eyeball test. And then now you're faced with having to reconcile that, where you go, this isn't working out very well, but if I change it now I'm going to look like a transphobe. Congratulations. You see what I'm, it proves my point. You can't bow down. You can't give an inch, because if once you do, they've got you. It's a trap. You can never change. I mean, three bathrooms. Oh, okay. We'll put in a third bathroom. You don't think a fourth bathroom will be coming in your future? It will. That's how it works. You keep moving the goalposts, as they say. You know, or I'm going to be so woke that it's like a contest to see who can be the most woke. That's why I call it the woke decathlon. You get all these different events that you participate in. But like you could get like the gold medal for not assigning a gender to your kid. Like when your kid is born, like, oh, is it a boy or a girl? They're like, we're just waiting to see what it chooses. I gendered that baby already. And then you're supposed to go, oh, that's normal. It's not normal. I'm sorry. And we're not allowed to laugh at that. That's laughable and super confusing too. I mean, what, at the gender revealed party, what did you guys do? You just probably didn't have one, right? Oh, but it even goes further. Now the corporations are all embracing this. You know, who can bow down to Black Lives Matter fast enough? Nike, Disney, whoever. Oh, please, here, we'll pay your protection fee. I mean, Black Lives Matter is an extortion racket. Black Lives Matter registered trademark, you know, the corporation that's run by two vowed Marxists and the head of the finance chairman is a convicted terrorist who did 20 years in prison for bombing federal buildings. That's Black Lives Matter. That's their management team. Two Marxists and a convicted terrorist. I'm not even kidding. I'm not trying to be funny here. That's what they are. So, you know, that now all the corporations are terrified of being labeled as racist. So what do they do? They change the packaging of some of your favorite, you know, foods because, you know, it's offensive. But did anybody stop and look at what they actually did to those packages? Because in the name of not being racist, they removed all the black people. They removed the cream of wheat chef. He's gone, you know, because of racism. They took the black face off of your cereal box. They did it with Uncle Ben. Uncle Ben's rice. They did it with Aunt Jemima, the maple syrup. They took the black faces away from you. I ask you this. If you are doing this in the name of inclusivity, shouldn't you be adding more black faces to the packaging? Not less? You saw the butter, the company that makes the butter with the Indian? I forget the name of it. They took her off of it, and then people have been putting memes out that saying this is the most American thing ever to remove the Indian but keep the land. We are living in, look, we're living in a world of such woke insanity that they're putting fat women in their underwear on the cover of Cosmopolitan magazine. Something that zero people are asking for, mind you. Check your privilege. Am I not allowed to say that? Am I fat shaming? Am I fat shaming by pointing out the rather obvious fact that Cosmo puts beautiful skinny women on their magazine and has since I would assume the first episode or first issue went out? And now they're putting fat women on there. And I don't mean like a little fat. I mean morbidly obese fat. Like you're diabetic. I can tell just by looking at you. Fat. In their underwear. On the cover of Cosmo. And then gaslighting us and saying, what? What are you guys talking about? What's all the fuss? Excuse me? Why is there a 300-pound half-naked woman on the cover of Cosmopolitan? I have questions. I'm not a I'm not a purchaser, a subscriber of your magazine, but I know what it is. And I know that, in the beauty business, that shit doesn't sell. That's why they have really pretty models to do the cosmetic lines and things like that. So you're clearly pandering. You're clearly pandering. You're clearly pretending, oh, we just woke up. We're woke now. Look at how woke we are. We're so woke that we put fat person on our cover. Don't harm us. Don't boycott us. Please, please don't boycott us. Please, whatever you do. All right, we'll put a amputee, fat amputee on the next issue. Okay, we promise. With blue hair. It's never enough. And you know what? Get woke, go broke. The terminology that people have been sort of throwing out there for a while, it's there for a reason. Because people are repulsed by this. They don't like this from their brands. It's like, I want my basketball to be basketball. I don't want to hear about politics. I deal with that shit all day long. I don't want to hear about it. I think the players are entitled when they're done playing, you know, when they're being interviewed, they're entitled to talk about whatever they want. I'm talking about from the league. I'm talking about Black Lives Matter banners being there and all that stuff. I don't need it. I don't want it. I'm not there for that. If I want that stuff, I'll go get that stuff. I want my basketball. And I don't need the lectures and I don't need all this stuff. It's infecting sports. It's infecting The Bachelor. It's infecting The Bachelor and The Bachelorette, even with Chris Harrison's controversy. Because God forbid he defend one of these girls that went to a sorority party 3 years ago when she was in college. You know, She's supposed to get canceled because of this. She's supposed to get destroyed and humiliated on national television by that dud of a bachelor, Matt James, the most boring bachelor. Yes, by the way, I do watch the show. I watch it. My wife and I watch it. We're just constantly the dialogue that's going on between the two of us during the show is savage. But I don't need that. You're going to get rid of the guy that's super popular all in the name of wokeism. Guess what? The ratings will fall off a cliff, as they should, just like they did in basketball. But the corporations don't seem to learn. I mean, I think the point of this whole woke agenda is to break people up into smaller and smaller groups so that you get them fighting and bickering with each other over nonsense. And it keeps them from really coming together and realizing who the real problem is. It's the 1%. It's the predator class. I don't even like calling them the elite as we sort of use that term. It's the predator class. They're the ones we should really be focused on. And they want us distracted. They want us... They want to have us fighting with each other. They want to weaken the fabric of society. They want to have us unsure about whether or not, what gender we are. I mean, look, if you want to get super deep into this, they want to depopulate. And if you can create a whole new generation of soy boys and people that still live with their parents and fluoride it up and gone through the full 78 vaccines, so they're filled with aluminum and they can't think straight and they've been spent their whole lives eating, high fructose corn syrup and things like that. I mean, look, we're moving towards a very unhealthy society physically. And a component of that is we're also very unhealthy emotionally too. And I think that a lot of this stuff, this wokeness and this propensity to be offended by everything is more a reflection on the softness of American, of the American psyche, of how the last two generations have had it so easy. They're soft. They're not mentally fortified in a way that gives them strength. It's kind of embarrassing. We've got safe spaces at universities and things like that. I mean, why? You're not preparing kids for life in the real world by offering them safe spaces, or maybe you are. Maybe you are, because maybe that's the way it's going to go. Maybe it's going to go towards safe spaces and, you know, and nap time for every office under the guise of inclusivity for people that are narcoleptic or something. I don't know. I mean, it's just, oh, it's all so heavy and so crazy and so preposterous. But if we can't laugh at this, then we're gonna have a real hard time dealing with the heavy stuff, you know, because I joke about this a lot because it's fun. It's fun to make fun of the woke people. They're silly. They're silly people. They're not serious people. And they're not a very big percentage. We're being led to believe that they're a much bigger portion of the population than they are. I don't think they really are. I think that we are in the vast majority. I think that we see through all of this. We see it for what it is. It's ridiculous. It's kind of funny. It's sort of annoying too. But it can, if you let this sort of thing go on and on and on, it can eventually become quite dangerous. It can infect the children who then grow up seeing everything from some bizarre victim mentality or I can't hire this perfect white candidate that's sitting at my desk right now that I'm interviewing. I have to go hire the second best choice because, you know, racial quotas and things like that. This is not a world that we want to live in. This is not healthy. And so I think it's important for us to, you know, at least acknowledge that these people are out there and that probably they're misguided, but maybe at their core wanting to be, you know, coming from a place of goodness where they think that they're making the world better without stopping to see that, hey, you know, actually the things that I'm participating in aren't making anything better. In fact, I'm just embarrassing myself. So if you like this show, if you like this episode, then do what you can to share it and get the word out there. The website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com, has all kinds of things. Now we've got the merchandise store there. You can get to that one. You can get to the Union of the Unwanted merch store from there as well. And I encourage you to go check out the stuff. And thanks, everybody.